Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today our focus is going to be the 35th chapter, Perek Lamed Hei of Sefer Yirmiyahu. And this is an astonishing story. This is one particular episode which Yirmiyahu uses as an example and a metaphor to the people. So here's how it goes. The context is, as is described at the beginning of the Perek, this is back in the times of Yehoiakim. This is the middle king that Yirmiyahu is prophesizing to. Yehoiakim was the king who really did not want to hear what Yirmiyahu had to say. He was trying to align himself with Egypt and ultimately was deposed of by the Babylonians. So it is interesting, of course, we are out of order. We are up to now been dealing with Tzidkiyahu. And just for those who are interested, and obviously this is something which is very difficult, is the out-of-sequence order of Yirmiyahu is something which is very hard to understand. And I'd like to address that, God willing, in a separate podcast at the end, once we reach at the end of Yirmiyahu, after Perek Nun Beis. So hold tight for that, just to get a more holistic picture, and then we'll circle back to that idea. So just keep that on the burner. In the meantime, let's get to this perek itself. So here's what happens. There's a particular action which Yirmiyahu needs to do, and he's going to reflect on this action. So the action is, he is told by Hashem, this is towards the beginning of the reign of Yehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar is rising in the north. He has just finished conquering Carchemish, in the north, which was an Egyptian bastion on the Syrian border. So this is now the southern states are starting to feel the fear of the new rising empire. And it is in this context that Yirmiyahu is told to go and get the base Rechavim, the people of the house of Rechav. And what are you supposed to do is you bring them to the base of Migdash and give them wine to drink. What is going on? So Yirmiyahu does exactly that. He went and fetches a fellow called Yazniah, the son of Yirmiyahu, the son of Chavzinya, and his brothers, and the whole house who come from Bnei Rechav. And he brings them to the Lishkas Bnei Uchanan Ben Yigdalyahu. So he brings them to the base of Migdash in front of this person's name is the children of Chanan Ben Yigdalyahu, who's the Ishalakim, is a man of God. And he offers them, he fills them up with wine, and the cups with wine, and they say, sorry, we can't drink. Why not? They explain, Ki Yonadav ben Rechav avinu, our ancestor, whose name was Yonadav ben Rechav, commanded us not to drink wine forever, us, all of his children, all of his progeny, and never to build houses, never to invest in land and real estate, rather to stay in tents all our days, leman tichiu yomim rabim, al pnei adamar asher atem garim sham, in order that you should have longevity on the land that you're staying. So the policy is going to be, is no wine and no investing in the land. That's what you need to do. And that's what happened. They listened to it. They didn't buy houses. They didn't drink wine. They're not drinking wine now. That's how they explain their story, as Yirmiyahu offers them the wine. And it's only now that as Nebuchadnezzar is starting to attack the area that they have to seek out safety in Yerushalayim because of the custom, the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, and they return to Yerushalayim. And this is what happens. So before we just get into some of the reflection points, so what does Yirmiyahu draw from them? Yirmiyahu now reflecting on this episode that has occurred. He's offered them wine publicly. They refuse the wine. He says the following. He says, look, Hukames divrei Yonadav ben Rechav asher tzivah es banav revil tishas yayin. In the end of the day, their ancestors' words, Yonadav, is actually fulfilled. His children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are not drinking wine. Ad hayom hazeh, ki shamo es mitzvas aviha, and they listen to the mitzvah of their father. Then he turns around and he says, wait a second, what about you, Bnei Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me and sent many other Nevi'im to tell you not to do this and not to follow, not to stray away from the word of Hashem. Did you listen to your father? Are you listening to the many, many warnings? How come this family, this nuclear family, is listening to the words of their great ancestor, even though he's no longer here, and it was a command made many, many years ago, and you aren't listening to the words of Hashem? That's what Yirmiyahu says. And therefore, because you're not listening, I'm going to hinanime vial Yehuda of El Yotol Yerushalayim es kol ra'ah asher dibarta lehem. That's why you're going to get the bad that you deserve. And then he finishes off the perek by describing that to the house of Rechav, for upholding the legacy of Yonadav, their great-great-grandfather, they therefore lachein kol marashen tzarkos elakei Yisrael lo yikoreis ish el Yonadav ben Rechav omed lefonai kol yamim. That's why their children will never be cut away from standing in front of me forever, which means to say, as the Chazal understand, is that they will always have people who are on the Sanhedrin, who are in leadership roles in the nation. This is the Perek. What an obscure story. Fascinating, right? So let's take a quick look into this. Who are these people? Who is the Rechav family? Who is Yonadav ben Rechav in the first place? So Rashi points out that actually this they originally come from the family of Yisra. You know, we always are curious. Where did Yisra go? Where did his descendants go? Well, this is one of them. So we have a very illustrious and well thought after individual, Yonadav ben Rechav, and this is his progeny. So that's number one. The Radak points out that if we were to remember very carefully back to Sefer Melachim, you will remember we actually met Yonadav ben Rechav before. When Yehu makes a grab for power based on his prophecy from Hashem to take over the idolatrous Israel and the southern kingdom of Yehuda, and he goes off on a chariot to pursue the two kings of Israel and Yehuda, he invites one person onto his chariot, and that is Yonadav ben Rechav. And he goes off and he kills the kings, and he kills all the people who are aligned to the family of Achav. It's a very complicated and very difficult excursion that goes on there, where he wipes out both kings and basically reestablishes monarchy, at least in the north. So he brings on Yonadav, and the Mefarshim struggles this sort of enigmatic figure who this Yonadav is, and they say that what is clear is the fact that Yehu offered him to be on the chariot was that he was seeking a groundswell of power, and Yonadav ben Rechav was obviously a person of great esteem that when aligned to Yehu would give him the power necessary for the kingship that he was seeking. So we see he obviously was a very important and powerful person. But now let's consider this statement that he made, this bequest he made of his children. So he told them not to drink wine, not to build houses or plant in the ground. Why not? Why is this going to grant them protection? That's going to give them longevity. So Radak says that really it's because investing in land causes a lot of daga, causes a lot of worry. It takes years of a person's life. Marbe nechasim, marbe daga, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, you know, and we know this to be true, people who are house owners, it takes a lot, there's always something, there's always the next project, there's always something falling apart, and certainly people whose business is in real estate, I mean, it's very strenuous, right? There are a lot of things that can go wrong all the time. Radak says, don't invest in real estate, be a renter, and in fact, it's going to be less worrisome for you. So your landlord will take care of, you know, the gutters and the sewer issues and the paint issues and the leaks and everything else like that. So really, this is a psychological decision. It was a piece of psychological advice. If this is the case, then Yirmiyahu is simply using this as an example. Yirmiyahu is saying, look, you have this family who gave psychological advice to his children, and they're still doing it. They're still doing it generations later. Why aren't you listening to my advice? That's the way we would have to read it. The Malbim says, no, it's actually because when conquerors come, when overlords come into the country and they try to take over, they don't attack the Bedouins, they don't attack the tent dwellers, they attack the cities, the fortified cities. So if you are living out with in a sort of encampment in a tent, nobody's really interested in taking over your area. They don't see you as a threat. So really, this is actually a social decision which is being made, not so much a psychological decision. And again, the fact that his children and grandchildren are adhering to his request is an indication of how Israel should adhere to the request of their father in heaven. But the Midrash Tanchuma in Parshas Shmini, Oyeshei, actually says it's more than that. It wasn't simply a psychological or social decision. There is actually a little more to it, and here's how it goes. Really, what is happening over here is Yonadav ben Rechav was a person who was very spiritually sensitive, and he listened to, even at the times of Yehu, there were prophets already saying that these actions, the Avodah Zorah, the way that society is conducting itself, is not good. We're not going in a good spiritual direction. So Yonadav was so sensitive to these decisions that he in fact said to his children, don't invest, you should be in a state of semi-mourning. Don't get houses, don't get gardens, don't drink wine, don't celebrate life, because there's danger in the air. And this is, can you imagine, this is centuries and centuries, a long, long time before the destruction. But nonetheless, that was what he transferred over. If that's the case, then this is actually even more clear to the message that Yirmiyahu was saying. Not only is it that you have a father who's being listened to by all of his descendants for many, many years afterwards, but you also have the fact that the actual theme of what he was saying is what they're listening to and what they should be learning from, which is that he was spiritually sensitive to what the prophets were saying about the oncoming destruction, whereas no one else was at the time. And this gives us a sort of the microcosm which Yirmiyahu is using to help try to wake up the people who are not listening to their father in heaven. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.